It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In the 1960s, the words flamboyant and outspoken were not often used to describe Major League Baseball players, who generally preferred to fly under the radar in those pre-free agency days. But flamboyant and outspoken is exactly what former Pirates pitcher Doc Ellis was, and you can add a few words to that, other adjectives, including controversial, confrontational, and maybe a little crazy. But if you were a Pirates fan in those days, you loved Doc Ellis, especially when you learned that the no-hitter he threw in the spring of 1970 was done while he was tripping on acid, he claims. These stories have made Doc Ellis a legend, and now he's the subject of a feature-length documentary called No No, a Documentary, premiering officially in Pittsburgh tonight. And I'm joined now by the film's director, Jeffrey Radice. Jeffrey Radice, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me on the show, Paul.
I had a chance to see the documentary last week at the Pittsburgh Filmmakers Theater, and there were some other folks that filled that place in Melwood, and it was an amazing reaction. How gratifying was it for you to see the emotional response to your film from people in the town where Doc Ellis made his legend?
Well, it was a wonderful audience there, you know, sold out theater, and it's always gratifying to get an audience response directly, you know, talk to the people, receive thanks. You know, it's been gratifying, the media attention we've been getting, and the reviews have been amazing. That part of it is wonderful, you know, and I think, you know, Doc is known for probably nationwide, mostly for the LSD no-hitter, but we're trying to tell his full story and bring out the redemptive aspect of his life, you know. And what's gratifying most is to get the message out and you know, show the full story and breadth of who Doc Ellis was as a man.
And he is an interesting subject for a documentary, but not an obvious subject. He was certainly not a model citizen. He was not the Roberto Clemente, Willie Stargell pillar of society. He was someone who had issues and was haunted by certain demons, and who said that he never pitched a game in the major leagues where he wasn't on the influence of some kind of controlled substance or alcohol. So what made you gravitate to his story?
Well, I think, you know, starting with the point that you just made about Doc saying that he never pitched a game when he wasn't under the influence of drugs makes it an interesting story. He took amphetamines, greenies, as they were known, which was a form of speed with a tranquilizer. And, you know, so it amped these guys up, but kind of smoothed it out. And most baseball players were taking it in the 1970s, in the 1960s, 1950s. And, you know, so what's interesting about Doc is that he captures so much of what was going on in society as he was a ball player. He was outspoken. He was a colorful individual. He had a lot of style. So he brought out a lot of these themes that I was hoping to address in the film. And so I think that's what makes him unique, along with his story. You know, it is a hero's journey, but it's not without kind of the pitfalls. And Doc, you know, has some really dark days after his career ended. He ended with Pittsburgh. He got brought back. He talked Joe Brown into bringing him back to the Pirates to end his career. As he said, he wanted to die a Pirate. And then he fell on some dark times. And I think that's what makes his story so interesting, is that he was able to go into recovery, deal with his alcohol abuse and his drug addictions, and find his calling in life, which was really working in the trenches with prisoners in California, talking to them about all of the problems that he faced, and talking about fear. I don't think that a lot of people understand that professional athletes, you know, fear of failure is one thing, but fear of success. If you're successful, you got to do it again, and that brings with it a lot of its own anxieties. And Doc was one of the few professional athletes to really talk about what it's like and the kind of the issues you got to face.
And Doc Ellis was someone that really stood out in the era in which he played. In this day and age, in the modern era of professional sports, flamboyant, outspoken athletes are pretty much a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. Their sound bites are everywhere. But in the days of Doc Ellis in the late 60s, early to mid 70s, and then finally by the late 70s when he retired, there weren't a lot of people like him, especially, you know, those early days with the Pirates, the late 60s, early 70s. Can you give people a sense of just how much of an oddity he was and the way that he stood out in his time?
Absolutely. I mean, this is in the era of Muhammad Ali, and Ali was probably the only example that you can find from that era of an outspoken African-American athlete who, you know, stood his ground and spoke his piece, and Doc modeled himself on Ali. And he took stands on issues that he felt were important, but, you know, his play had to back up what he was saying. If Doc wasn't a great pitcher, he would not have been able to say some of the things that he said. And he, you know, he knew where to draw the line. He would bring the media out and, you know, confront them in different ways. In 1971 for the All-Star game, said that they would not start a brother against a brother. Vida Blue was off to a phenomenal start that season, so he was a shoo-in for the American League starter in the All-Star game. And Doc was one of a few pitchers that could have been chosen. And he called out Sparky Anderson, who was selecting the starting pitcher, and, you know, said, you're not going to start a brother against a brother. It blew up in the media. Doc was using reverse psychology. But, you know, he was out there alone. He was on the frontier. And in a lot of ways, large and small, Doc was the first player on the Pirates to invite a lawyer, have an agent come in and help him negotiate his contract. Because in the early 70s, before the free agent era, the ball players on the Pirates team, they had to renegotiate their contract every year. They had to go in to the general manager's office, into Joe Brown's office, and it was them with the general manager discussing how they performed, and they were at a distinct disadvantage. And Doc and Tom Rich, Pittsburgh native, his agent later on, discussed this and came up with a plan where Tom was going to go in and represent Doc. And this really was at the forefront of getting some representation for the players and helping them get a more equitable compensation. And Doc was just doing it because he felt it was the right thing to do. And that was true of a lot of his actions and a lot of what he spoke about.
And that 1971 All-Star game in Detroit, Doc Ellis was named the starter by Sparky Anderson. His reverse psychology worked, and he ended up being the starter for the National League against Vida Blue, who is also African-American from the American League. And it was the first time that two African-American pitchers started the All-Star game for their respective leagues. So among the history that was made there, we're talking with Jeffrey Radice, who is the director of a documentary about former Pirate pitcher Doc Ellis, No-No, a documentary, considered one of the top 15 films at this year's Sundance Film Festival. And it is getting its official premiere after getting a sneak preview at Pittsburgh Filmmakers last week. It is getting its official premiere tonight at the Regent Square Theater in Braddock. And so if you want an opportunity,
I believe it's playing at the Harris Theater.
I have it listed as the Regent Square.
What I've been told is the Harris Theater, so your audience needs to just double check before they head out to the theater.
Yes. All right. We'll double check. We'll try to come up with the correct theater here before we let you go, Jeffrey. But in constructing this movie, I want to talk about the approach that you took, the people that you included in the movie, and originally you had been in contact with Doc Ellis before he passed away. Describe what happened there.
I did reach out to Doc. You know, I got the idea in 2004 to explore making a film. Read Doc's biography written by poet Donald Hall, which is, you know, a very literate sports biography. And so we reached out to Doc and talked to him. He said, "Let's make a film." And I have to say that I dragged my feet a little bit. And he got sick. We weren't able to talk to him again, and then I found out at the end of 2008 he had died. And so you know, not wanting to regret never having pursued the idea, I reimagined it as talking to people who knew Doc best, and that included family and friends, but also teammates. And so we had the opportunity in 2011, there was a reunion of the 1971 championship Pirates team, along with members of the Orioles squad who they beat in the World Series. And so we had the opportunity to interview a number of his Pirates teammates, Dave Cash, Steve Blass, Bruce Keeson, Manny Sanguian, Gene Klein, Al Oliver, and ask them about Doc, what it was like to play on a team with Doc. You know, that Pittsburgh, the 71 Pirates were a phenomenal team. They were groundbreaking. They started the first lineup of all black players. You know, had not been done. Jackie Robinson broke in the 40s, and it took until 1971 for the starting nine players on the field to be all black. And, you know, so really enjoyed talking to all these people about Doc, but I had to reimagine it as kind of how did other people see him? And Doc was many things to many people. So, you know, I refer to him as almost a fractal personality. So it was better in a way to have so many people weighing in and sharing. And anyone that knew him, you know, in a capacity as a friend or as a teammate, you know, there was a lot of love for Doc Ellis. And that came through in the interviews and in the film.
And there are some amazing people who show up in this film, including the famed film director Ron Howard. How and why did Ron Howard end up in your movie?
Ron Howard is a baseball fan, and he knew about Doc Ellis. He was a fan of Doc growing up. And in 1986, he had a film, one of his very early directing roles, the movie Gung Ho, which is part of it. It was filmed in and around Pittsburgh and set, I think, in Pennsylvania. And Doc went in for a role. Doc had started, you know, trying to pursue a little bit of an acting career. He got a Screen Actors Guild card. He was in a number of, you know, bit parts, but he went in and auditioned. And Ron Howard thought that he would be good for the role, and so cast Doc as one of the factory workers alongside Michael Keaton and Ron Howard's brother and George Wendt in the film. You know, and Doc had some speaking lines. Ron said that they ended up cutting them. Doc went to see the film and thought that, you know, he was going to, there was going to be a lot more Doc in the movie than there was, but he was there in the background. He was pitching in the softball game. And yeah. It, you know, additional people that we spoke with, Vera Clemente and Roberto Clemente Jr., who were close to Doc. Doc was close to Roberto and really broken up when he died in that tragedy. And so, you know, we kind of rounded it out with a wide cast of people. Robin Williams told in his stand-up routine, told a joke about Doc Ellis, you know. So Johnny Carson had a piece in the early 70s about Doc Ellis, and we kind of incorporated all of those into the film.
Yeah, Johnny's bit was about Doc Ellis's wearing hair curlers out on the field, which caused, hard to imagine, but it was a huge controversy back when he did it. And then the Robin Williams bit was about Doc Ellis throwing the no-hitter on acid. He claims to have taken LSD, forgotten about what day he was supposed to be pitching, and shows up in San Diego early in the 1970 season and has to pitch against the Padres. This more than any other story about Doc Ellis is what has kind of created this legend and made him an icon. I don't want to give too much away, but you do cover this quite a bit in the movie.
Yeah, we used the LSD no-hitter as the hook. You know, I mean, it's the tease that most people, if they're familiar with Doc, you know, probably in Pittsburgh it's a little different, especially if people were following the Pirates in the 1970s. But for most of America and the world, they only know about Doc Ellis as the guy who threw the no-hitter on LSD. And you know, there's some dispute about whether he did or he didn't, because Doc kind of perpetuated that myth. It the story broke in 1984 in Pittsburgh, Bob Smizik. I think it was the Tribune Review. You know, the newspaper names changed, so I might have got the name
he was,
wrong.
Well, but, he was writing...
The story...
he was writing for the Pittsburgh Press at the time.
Okay. So that was where the story first achieved any kind of national prominence, and Smizik won an award for that story. But he heard it, interestingly enough, he heard the story from David Lander, the actor who played Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley, who, big baseball fan, Pirates fan, and was at the no-hitter on his honeymoon, and later on became a scout, I think, for the Seattle Mariners, and, you know, became friends with Doc. And Doc told him the story because David went up to Doc and he said, you know, that game, you were kind of wild. He walked eight guys. He hit two guys in the no-hitter. And Doc said, well, you should have seen it from my perspective. And so David Lander found out that Doc had, you know, claimed to have taken the LSD. He shared that with Bob Smizik. Bob went and tracked Doc down and interviewed him and wrote the piece. Smizik believes it. There are certain sports writers there in Pittsburgh who dispute it, you know. And what I tried to do as a filmmaker was gather as much evidence that I could firsthand. The gentleman who says that he was tripping with Doc the day before the game, and it was in Doc's biography in early editions in the manuscript, and it was later removed because his biography came out in 1976. By then, Doc had been traded to the New York Yankees, and my attempt was just to investigate and present the evidence that I could gather. There are, you know, various people who dispute it. Tony Bartirome, the longtime trainer for the Pirates, insists that Doc was not on LSD, but, you know, most of the people who knew Doc best believe him. And, you know, I believe him, but I can't say with 100% certainty that it is a true story. And maybe it's better that there is some doubt out there.
Well, the great thing about this is that people can go to, and it is the Harris Theater. You were right, Jeffrey. I should never question the director. So it is the Harris Theater tonight where you can see the official premiere of Jeffrey's documentary, and No, a documentary.
Yeah,
about-
and it's scheduled to play there, Paul. It's scheduled to play at the Harris Theater. We're told a minimum of 2 weeks, which is the only city where we're getting a guaranteed 2 weeks. It's playing in a number of other cities, but, you know, I think that Pittsburgh Pirates fans and Pittsburghers should love this film.
And I think they
will. It's not just about Doc.
I need to jump in, Jeffrey, because we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us,
okay. And
we appreciate it. Coming up, Bob Dvorak with a preview of the Steelers season on WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This week, the 2014 NFL regular season opens, and of course, that means opening day for the Steelers.